Tom Withers in for Andy Baskin today. I'm Jeff Phelps, submitting it behind the glass. Meredith taking your phone calls. Trade deadline coming up, Tom. And I think there are a bunch of decisions that need to be made. Big picture to me is this. If a general manager in any sport gets a phone call and is offered something that that general manager thinks improves his team's situation, and I'm not going to say improve the team, because sometimes you make a trade to improve your situation, meaning next year we're going to get, you know, two guys who are going to really help us. Right. We're going to get three guys who are really going to help us. That general manager has to not only take the phone call, but if it makes your situation better, you have to take that trade. So you never know what might be offered to Chris Antonetti before July 31st.
There will be a lot offered to him. I caution people all the time, especially when we get into these silly seasons around trade deadlines in all the sports, right? This is what general managers do for a living.
It's what they're paid for.
They have phone conversations with teams every day. Hey, really like so-and-so. What would it take for us to get so-and-so? These offers are thrown around. So anytime I see these reports about...
Think about making, as stupid as it sounds,
yeah,
a fantasy football trade.
Right.
It's the same kind thing of stuff.
So when I've read these recent reports about, you know, the Guardians speaking to the Yankees, of course they are speaking to the Yankees. It's a contending team that's looking for a closer. There's phone calls that have been made already about Emmanuel Clase. There's no question about that.
Multiple.
It's happened.
With multiple teams.
Probably happened this morning. Yeah. Yep. You know, all those contenders are looking and talking about him.
It's a valuable piece to finish off a team that thinks it has a chance to go deep.
If you're the Yankees, you're not calling the Guardians about Emmanuel Clase and Cade Smith. Of course you are. You'd have to. So
it's Brian Cashman's job.
Yeah. Now, whether or not they're making an offer that's enticing enough for the Guardians to make a move is another story. And I, you know, Jeff, you and I have talked about this and talked to Dan a little bit about it off the air as well. I'm holding on to Clase as long as I can. Now, you blow my doors off and you make me an offer, so to speak, that I can't refuse, I'll move it. I'll move him. If you can give me back, if you're going to take arguably from me the best closer in baseball, he's in the conversation. I want back a right fielder that I can immediately plug into the lineup and maybe a prospect. You want to give me Spencer Jones, your top prospect? What we can do some business there. So big decisions. Again, you know, there's a little bit of time here for the Guardians to kind of assess where, I mean, that's part of what the All-Star break was about, kind of assess where you're at. You know, Can we really make a run here? Is it worth hanging on to what we've got?
See, that's...
I
cut you off.
Yeah,
that's the thing, I think, the big picture.
Yeah.
I mean, if the trade helps you, it helps you. But big picture, I think they need to decide, do we sell or do we buy? And I have a hard time thinking buy in this situation.
I'm with you. But how much do you sell? How big a piece do you sell? Like, to me, Clase is one of maybe four to five players that I think are almost untouchable with the Guardians. Obviously, Ramirez is untouchable. Mm-hmm. To me, Kwan is untouchable. You got a guy I know they've talked extension with him in the past. I know there's been reports about him turning it down, whatever. I still think there's a real good relationship, a healthy one between Stephen Kwan's camp and the Guardians. Yeah, I still see a long future for him in Cleveland.
I hope you're right.
I think Clase is untouchable. Again, unless you are going to absolutely blow my doors off. I also think Cade Smith is untouchable. I think also from the standpoint that if you're going to move Clase, then Cade Smith would be your closer, right? So I think those four guys to me are players that right now, listen, and they're going to be the ones that are going to be sought by other teams, but I hold on to them. I hold on to them close.
Paul Sewald's injury, again, doesn't help the situation.
Yeah.
Because you brought him in here to be a back end of the bullpen guy. He could go anywhere. He's been a closer. That hurts them at this time because the trade deadline's less than 2 weeks away. He factored into it in some way, shape, or form to me. I saw, and anybody can speculate on trades, and people throw out, you know, hey, the Toronto Blue Jays should call the Guardians and get Hunter Gaddis. Okay, well, great. That's swell. What would you get? You know, I mean, I don't want to move Hunter Gaddis. I don't want to touch that pitching, but if you get your socks knocked off. And with Clase, I thought of this, Tom, and I did not like the move at the time. I understood it, but I didn't like it. When the Guardians Indians traded for Andrew Miller, and Andrew, premier relief pitcher, but he was a setup guy and a relief pitcher. Now, was he phenomenal in the back end of the bullpen? You bet he was. But this is the type of haul, and I'd say it probably didn't work out for the Yankees.
Remind me, Clint Frazier,
who was the top hitting prospect in the organization at the time, and I thought you can't trade these guys because you don't develop them.
Right.
Well, he never actually took off in New York either. And Justice Sheffield, who was a shorter left-handed pitcher who was a first-round draft pick, who ended up in Seattle and was okay, and then two other guys who haven't had big-time careers. But that's what you're looking for if you're trading a guy like Clase. The Yankees got the best pitching or the best hitting prospect in the Guardians organization in Clint Frazier, and a guy who was a first-round draft choice as a pitcher. That's what you're looking at. And two other guys
100%
got thrown into the deal.
Yeah. And listen, there's a lot of other smaller moves that could happen here as well, right? I mean, you got the expiring contract of Lane Thomas. You've got Carlos Santana's expiring contract.
Carlos is hitting and playing. Lane is not hitting and injured.
Right.
And that kills them here, Tom.
I know.
That kills them.
And I hang on to Santana as well.
Would you?
Yeah, I would. Now, again,
why?
I don't know what you're going to get in return. Why?
You're not ready to play Manzardo at first base every day?
Listen, I like Kyle Manzardo. I get nervous when there's a pickoff throw thrown over there.
Well, you know why? Because you've seen him butcher those.
I mean, there was a play last week. It was the same game where Schneeman made that diving stop.
Yeah.
There was also the diving catch. He makes a diving stop late in that game, scrambled to his feet, threw a one hopper that Manzardo couldn't handle, that I guarantee you Santana backhands. So
Carlos is really good.
He's really good, and he's been solid in that lineup.
Really
he's been one of the few things that you could almost count on, right? You can count on a quality at bat from him every single time up. There's no doubt about that.
And he's a professional hitter.
He has been. And he's also a professional off the field as well, which means something that I know people don't want to hear that. And
nobody wants to hear that.
Clubhouse guy,
we know how
great
that
guy and all
affects
that.
The team.
It is. It's a big deal, especially in baseball. So I hold on to Carlos. To your point, I mean, Thomas has just been damaged goods. I mean, if not for those couple of home runs last October, it's been bad.
Right.
It really has. And I like Lane. He's a really nice kid.
And you hope he gets it together, and you hope he gets it together here, but he's a free agent at the end of the year, and there's no way they're going to invest in him in anything other than, hey, you know, you want a minimum contract, and you can try and make the team in spring training.
So if you're the Guardians, Jeff, let me ask you this. Do you feel like you're in it? I mean, do you feel like you're in it enough that you don't necessarily sell the farm, and you maybe sell a piece or two, and maybe you try to get back a player that can fit into the lineup here for the second half? Is that kind of where they're at?
I would tweak if I can. But Tom, what they have to trade, you know, like if you don't want to move Santana, what else can you trade?
Yeah, I know. You're very limited.
You don't want to trade anybody in the rotation. I don't. And with the Luis Ortiz situation, you lost a guy who you were counting on as being one of your five guys and who had pitched like he deserved to be one of your five guys, and that pushed down the road. So I don't expect to see him this year or maybe ever again in the Guardians uniform. I hope they do. I hope he's exonerated. But I've hit delete because
you have to.
Gambling's a big deal. And if by chance he's guilty of something, I don't think he'll be back. And I like Joey Cantillo.
I do too.
I want to see him. You know, so hopefully he's able to do that. There are some other guys that were former higher draft choices that are knocking on the door. Parker Messick, Nick Hazy, who we haven't seen a lot of, but
enough to see that there's something there. Yeah.
And you know, so there are pitchers there, but I want to hang on to those guys and sort through them a little bit.
Yeah.
To be honest, you could trade a bullpen arm. If you think you have a bullpen arm ready to come up, but your bullpen is something Stephen Vogt has just leaned on like crazy since he's been manager here. And do you want to take that away from him? I don't know, unless you make the big move, which is trading Emmanuel Clase.
Yeah, boy, there's a lot to digest there, isn't there? And, you know, obviously, should they not come out of the break playing good ball, then everything changes as well, right? Doesn't it? You know, if you stumble against the A's coming out of the gate or what have you.
But that's a short sample size because the trading deadline's less than 2 weeks away.
I know, and they think much broader than we are now.
But, Tom, if they're 4.5 back right now in the wild card with a bunch of teams to leap. If they came and fell flat and they fell eight games out in the wild card before the trade deadline and there are still the 5 games to leapfrog, let's be realistic. It's not going to happen. You know, it's not even the games to me as much as the games combined with the number of teams. You're going to think all those teams aren't going to play well. Right. And so it might be telling in the first, week?
It has to be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then what do they do?
And I'm sure these were the conversations that, you know, Antonetti and Chernoff had over this break here. And, you know, they sat down with everybody and kind of assessed where they're at. You know, I'll still get back to, I want to see DeLauder. I want to see Kafis. I want to see him soon. I thought we would have seen them by now.
Yeah, I want to see Brito if he's healthy.
I want to see Brito if he's healthy. I mean, there's still plenty to watch with this team, Jeff.
And yeah, there is.
Listen, you're a baseball guy. I'm a baseball guy. I love the day-to-day. I think it's what makes the sport, you know, endearing and charming and whatever other word you want to use there. There's a lot of moving pieces on a daily basis with 27 guys on the roster. There's a lot to consider. There's the here and there's the future that you've got to consider as well. It's not an easy gig for Antonetti from that standpoint, right? To stay competitive, to stay as a contender with the financial limitations and all that we've talked about a gazillion times. But the bottom line is, if you're going to trade Emmanuel Clase, you better be getting an absolute haul and then some.
I couldn't agree with that more. The draft was held, and the first pick, I thought, wow, that's not typical Guardians. And then it kept going. What did you make out of? And we had Paul Hoynes on the show.
They got a tackle and two offensive guards.
We had Hoynes on the show, and I mentioned to Paul, I said, do you think what they did in the draft affects the trade deadline at all? And he said, I hadn't thought of that. And he said, prospects, you know, and draft picks are, if they're quick here, they're not here next year, they're here the following year. And Paul thought, probably not. You know, they'd still move guys to bring in guys to help the current team.
Yep.
But I just, you know, you see Nick Kurtz, who we're going to see with the A's in town, you know, who was drafted last year and is already contributing. The Guardians drafted enough college hitters with good track records. I'll bet one of those kids is up here next year. Out of that whole bunch, I'll bet one makes that leap. And I found it really interesting that they drafted that kind of player.
Kind of player, yeah. Yeah, not dissimilar from Bizzano last year as your number one, right? Yeah. A guy that can just rake.
Yeah.
Again, that's another guy, Jeff. Like, you know, you made the point with the A's bringing that kid up. I thought Bizzano would be here this year, and I think he still could be. Although he's had to deal with injury. The injury thing is a big setback, and he's got a longer wait.
He was doing okay at AA Akron, but he wasn't
just okay. He started out great, which got me really excited because I know how high they are on him. So, but I do expect to see him next year, but I'm with you on the Juan Brito. Let's get Juan Brito here as soon as he's healthy and see what you got.
And they've tried to play him at other spots and see if they have anything else there. So it starts back tonight. A's. I was going to say Oakland. I caught myself. A's against the Guardians. A gentleman who used to cover the Cavaliers for ESPN now covers the NBA for ESPN. And he said something about a guy who wore number 23 here and who wears 6 for the Lakers that made me think, well, sure, but it also made me think something else long term. And Tom Withers knows LeBron as well as anybody. It's coming up on Baskin and Phelps.